Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We do have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. If you have a problem situation that you would like to discuss, a particular passage that is confusing to you, now's the time to call, 844-322-2742. We've got a lot of great questions already on the board for us. Really interesting program for us today. You can make it even more interesting by asking your question again, 844-322-2742. We've been talking all month long about this total forgiveness that we have in Christ, that Jesus, when He shed His blood, He took away our sins once and for all. And one of the great promises of the new covenant is the fact that God remembers our sins no more. He remembered them 2,000 years ago, and He judged them for what they were, and the punishment was meted out in the death of Jesus Christ. And so the payment was made. All of our sins were taken care of, paid in full. It was finished when Jesus died on the cross. Well, what does that mean for you and me today? Well, it means that we can experience that forgiveness of sins, that we can walk in that forgiveness, and that opens the door to experiencing eternal life. What does it mean for us in the afterlife? Now, there are so many people that are afraid to die because they feel like when they go and stand before the Lord, God is going to play a video of their lives for all of creation to view. And they feel like they're going to be exposed, that God is going to expose every sin, that God is going to expose every thought, every word that was said that was contrary to His righteousness. Well, nobody wants to be exposed that way, but that's not the truth. God is not going to broadcast our sins to the world. Why? Because He has already said He remembers them no more. So when you stand before the Lord, He's going to tell your story to you, and you're going to see that your story is a story of faith. He's going to commend you for your belief in Jesus Christ. And we see this played out for us in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 18, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days. I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any offering for sin. So we read that great truth in Hebrews chapter 10. As we move down the page and enter into Hebrews chapter 11, we see this is a chapter about faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's by faith that we please God. It's believing that He exists, and He rewards those who diligently seek Him. What does He reward us with? Life, eternal life, righteousness, a new identity, a place in God's kingdom, a belonging that we've been sealed and marked as one of His very own. That's what we receive. That's what God rewards us with, not because of good works, simply because we've believed Jesus. We've believed His death, His burial, His resurrection. And it's by faith that we please the Lord. Well, as He establishes that as the definition of faith, then He goes and talks about the saints of old. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was taken up. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Moses. And it just goes on and on and on through kind of the hall of fame of Old Testament saints. Now, when we read about their stories in the Old Testament, boy, the writers of the Old Testament tells their stories, warts and all. We see their sins. We see their misgivings. We see their mistakes. We see their shortcomings. We see it all in the Old Covenant. But now as God filters their life through the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the story about each and every one of those becomes a story of faith. Even in their shortcomings, even in their failings, even when they sinned, they still trusted the word of God that was spoken to them about Jesus. And so as God decides to tell their story in Hebrews chapter 11, it's not a story of their sins. It's a story about their faith in Messiah. And that's exactly how God is going to tell your story. He is going to tell your story as a story of faith, and he's going to commend you for it. So you have absolutely nothing to fear when you die and stand before God in judgment. Why? Because the judgment for your sins went upon Jesus, and all he's going to talk about is the fact that you believed, that you trusted in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he is going to shout it to the world that here is my son, here is my daughter, here is my beloved in Christ Jesus who believed the good word about my son. Talk about a story. That's a story worth cherishing in your own heart. That's a story that God has authored in you through Jesus Christ, his one and only. And talk about good news. That is good news. Well, my name is Bob Christopher. This is Basic Gospel. We are so glad you were with us today. 844-322-2742 is the number. Call right now. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. 844-322-2742. If you're watching via Facebook or YouTube, if you have questions, be sure and post those in the comment section, and we'll try to get to those as quickly as we can as well. I want to mention a wonderful little resource that we have for you. This forgiveness issue is so vitally important. We've put together a pamphlet of all the major passages in the New Testament that talk about the forgiveness of sins that we have in Jesus Christ. And we want to put this in your hands, and you can request it by going to our website, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. When you're there, you'll see a banner at the very top of the page. Just click that banner and request your copy of Forgiveness, what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. You will be blessed. These are passages for you to memorize. These are passages that will change your life. It will give you the confidence that you need in your relationship with Jesus Christ, and it will give you the compassion and the love for others as you encounter them in your day-to-day lives. Again, at basicgospel.net, click the banner at the very top of the page. We would love to get this to you as quickly as possible. Well, we're going to go to our phone lines right now and talk to Mary Jo, who's listening to us in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. My question is this. Who was Christ talking to when he said, "Depart from me, I know you not"? And can he say that to a Christian in heaven?
He will never say that to a Christian in heaven. Why? Because we belong to him. We're not opposed to him. We're not rebelling against him. We've accepted him. We've believed the good news concerning Jesus. We've believed that he died for our sins in accordance with scriptures. We believed that he was buried and that on the third day he was raised back to life in accordance with scriptures. So in that believing, God has sealed us. He has marked us as his very own. So who is he talking to in this Matthew 25 passage? Well, it's talking about the judgment, and that at that time of judgment, there's going to be a separating of the sheep from the goats. Now, who are the sheep? Well, the sheep are those who have heard the voice of Jesus Christ, have followed him, and have received eternal life. That's you and me, Mary Jo. We're the sheep. We are the sheep of God's pasture. Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. So we're the sheep. So we've been given eternal life. The goats are the ones who have rejected Jesus Christ. They are the ones that have not heard the voice of the Savior. and they've lived their lives in rebellion toward God and in rebellion toward Jesus Christ. And so when they stand before God in judgment, their judgment is going to be eternal death. So Jesus is going to say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. And so that's who he's talking to. So Mary Jo, you're a sheep. You heard the voice of Jesus. You've believed him, and you have received everlasting life and the seal of God's Spirit marking you out as one who belongs to the Lord. That's good news, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's nice to hear. It just dawned on me. I really didn't know that parable that well, and I thought, well, who can he say that? So could God be mad at a Christian where he says, depart from me, I know you not?
Absolutely not. He is pleased with you because you have believed his son. Now, that's good news.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. Well, that opens up another line for us at 844-322-2742. Let's go to Dennis, who's listening to us in California. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, guys, Bob and Bob. Hey, I go way back, you know, with the ministry, and I have just now stumbled upon you guys after all these years because I'm technologically challenged, and my son was showing me how to use YouTube. And I found you guys. I mean, this is the first time today, and I just want to thank you guys for doing a wonderful job, man. I'm glad you're still there. I'm going to be tuning in regularly now, telling my friends, people at church about it. You know, I just wanted to give you a word of encouragement.
Well, thank you, Dennis. We sure appreciate that, and I'm sure glad that your son was able to show you YouTube and how to listen and how to follow, and we're glad that you're back with us. So thanks for calling us today. That means a lot to me, my friend.
Yeah. Is Bob Davis there too?
Well, Bob Davis was here on tape. He is not here in the studio with us, but I'll be sure to tell him hello for you, Dennis.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bob.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, God bless you. Great to hear from you.
Keep up the good work and the word, brother.
Hey, let me do this for you, Dennis. I wrote a book called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and I would love to put it in your hands and hear what you think, okay?
Okay, yeah. Love to have it.
Well, hang on, Dennis. We'll get that sent to you as quickly as we can. Hold the line. Well, that opens up another line at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. My name is Bob Christopher. This is Basic Gospel. We're glad you are tuned in. We're going to go and take a call from John, who left this question for us.
All right, my name's John. I'm curious to... In Revelations, they give a list of the 12 tribes of Israel, and Dan is left out, and they list Manasseh and Levi, and they leave out Ephraim. I was curious to why that is. What are the 12 tribes of Israel, and why do they leave out one of Joseph's sons and one of the original 12, Dan? If you could answer that, I'd really appreciate it. That's always kind of stumped me. Thank you, and God bless. Bye-bye.
Well, John, that has stumped a lot of people, and we really don't have a good, solid biblical reason for the list that shows up in Revelation 7. As you said, Dan, one of the original 12, is left out of that. Some think that he was left out because when they crossed over the Jordan and were to take their allotment of land, Dan did not secure his rightful allotment, which was right on the coast of the Mediterranean, a beautiful piece of land, but it was nestled next to Philistia. So the Philistines lived over in that part of Israel. So maybe they didn't want that land because of the close proximity. And so they decided to move north. And when the kingdom was divided, they joined Jeroboam in idolatry. And so when you go to their allotment of land up north, which is right on the Syrian border, you can see all the altars that they built and all the high places. And their idolatrous worship that they engaged in. So some say that maybe they were left out because of their idolatry, the fact that they bowed down and worshiped other gods. Now, as far as Ephraim, he's not mentioned here, and some say that's because Ephraim basically assimilated into Judah. But again, there's no real biblical reason for this particular list other than the speculations that I've just laid out for you, John. So it's interesting. It starts with Judah. Judah was not the first of the 12. Reuben was the first of the 12. Reuben slept with one of the mothers of some of the other sons, and Jacob didn't like that. So instead of giving him the double portion, he gave that to Joseph. And that's why we see Joseph's sons given an allotment of land in Israel. So that's kind of interesting. But Judah, Jacob blessed him and said, "The scepter will never leave you." Out of Judah came David, and from David came Jesus, and Jesus is going to be the one who sits on the throne forever. So I think that's why he starts with Judah here and then just goes through the list. And all of this represents the people of God that have come forth as children of promise through faith in Jesus Christ. So, John, hope that helps. Thank you for that great call. We certainly appreciate that. Well, Deborah from our Facebook nation had a question about Isaiah 40:31. Deborah's saying that that's one of her favorite passages, but we must learn to wait and be patient. And she says, "Am I correct?" And absolutely, waiting is one of the most difficult things that you and I face as human beings. We want stuff yesterday. We live in a microwave society. Everything is given to us at the moment, just right now. It's spontaneous. We don't like to work for anything. We don't like to build and wait. We want everything right now. So, yes, patience is a very difficult thing for you and I to cultivate in these hearts and souls of ours. But we have to realize that it can become easier and easier when we recognize the goodness and character of God himself. Peter talks about patience and waiting on the Lord. And then he says in his second letter that patience means good things, that it meant for us salvation. God was patient with us. And at the right time, he introduced Jesus to us. And when he did, we received salvation. So God's timing is not always our timing. But when his timing comes to bear in our lives, we see amazing things take place. So when we recognize the character and goodness of God and what he has in mind for each and every one of us, he has in mind our best interest. He wants us to experience the fullness of his life, to enjoy that abundantly. He wants us to live free as children of God. And sometimes we need to wait on the Lord to do his work inside of us so that we can have that true experience of his life by grace through faith in Jesus. So that's part of the process that we are engaged in as children of God. And again, as we recognize the character and goodness of God, that waiting and that patience becomes something that is much easier for us to latch on to, knowing that it's going to mean good things for us in the Lord's timing. Well, Deborah, thanks for that great question. We certainly hope that answer was helpful. Now we're going to go and listen to this.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. I have a question. I would really like to know the difference between the soul and the spirit. I know the word spirit in Greek is pneuma, which means breath, and I know the soul is in three parts. Can you tell me the difference? I would really appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, that is a great question. Spirit is the part of us that engages with God. So that's where we experience this genuine life that we have by grace through faith in Jesus. Before we came to Christ, that spirit was dead to God. And so we were left asking all of those important questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? What is my purpose in this life? Those are spiritual questions. And those questions are only answered in God. He is the answer to all of those things. So we experience God through faith in Jesus Christ. As Jesus said, He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. So we're made alive together with Christ. So our spirits are made alive together with Christ. God's Spirit comes to take up residence, and we're joined together. We're one in spirit with the Lord. So that's good news. And so that becomes the center of truth. So we enjoy that relationship on a spiritual level. That spiritual relationship informs our mind about the truth of Christ. And we express this new life that we have in Christ through our souls and our bodies. Now, our soul is the mind, the emotions, the will. So it's what we think, it's what we feel, it's what we choose. And then based on those choices, we act those out through our bodies. So the spirit is what was made alive when we came to Christ, when we believed the good news of Jesus Christ. It was dead to God, and now it's fully alive to God. That's the deepest need, or that's the deepest part of who we are. And that distinguishes us from the rest of the animal kingdom. You know, a dog has a soul, but a dog doesn't have a spirit. All the animals have souls and personalities, and we can see that in our pets. But they don't have this spiritual crisis that you and I did. They're not wondering about their identity, about their destination. They're not wondering about why they're here. That's just unique to humans, and that's the spiritual side of us. So that spirit was dead to God, and then it was made alive to God through faith in Jesus Christ, and now we can function as a true human being, alive in Christ. That spiritual union can inform the soul that then can be expressed through our personality and through our actions out there in the world. Well, I hope that was helpful. That's a great question, and I sure appreciate you asking it. Now let's go and hear from Pat as we close the broadcast today.
Hello, this is Pat. I've got a question for you on the book of Luke, verse 39, basically when Jesus is casting out demons and healing people. And he does cast out some demons, and the demons shout out, "You are the Son of God," in verse 41 at chapter 4. But then the Lord said, he stopped them and told them to be silent. And I was kind of curious, why do you think that the Lord told them to be silent when basically that's proving that he is the Son of God by casting out demons? Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Well, that's a great question, Pat. And I think it's a very simple thing. You don't want demons being your spokespeople. And they certainly don't represent the truth. They're in rebellion toward the truth. And Jesus knew that the Pharisees were going to look at him and say, "You're doing your work through the power of Satan," and they would call him Beelzebub. And so he didn't want those forces of darkness to broadcast the truth about who he was. So it was a marketing decision. Basically, you're the wrong people speaking for me. So he silenced them as he should have. So, Pat, hope that helps. Well, this has been Basic Gospel. Thank you again for joining us on today's broadcast. A lot of great questions today. We look forward to another great broadcast tomorrow. Bring your questions. We would love to point you to the Word of God and an answer through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Basic Gospel is listener supported. We would certainly appreciate your support now. All the information is at basicgospel.net. We'll see you tomorrow.